Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, you said to me during the, we went and walked and got a cup of coffee during the break that how good is the NFL this weekend? I think I like this one more just because you get six
volume.
Instead of four. Yeah, I'll take a little volume because the quality is going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be great, but it's going to be pretty
upsets.
Good.
Not upsets. There's going to be some big blowouts likely.
There will be a blowout.
Probably two. Yeah.
I guarantee you there's going to be somebody that we do not think that's going to win is going to win one of those
but
games.
Ravens, yeah. Bengals. Probably blow out because no Lamar Jackson.
No Lamar.
And then the Bills Dolphins.
It's a good thing I took Ravens in that one.
No Lamar. And by the way, Lamar doesn't have a contract for next season. Now they can tag him and do all that kind of stuff, but that's a whole nother thing. The Dolphins are the only team.
Yeah.
And maybe the Ravens. Emily's probably right about that too. Those are the only two teams, zero chance. The other four, sure.
This weekend, we're looking at, it's a foul.
Of course it's a foul. It's
foul.
Still bothering me all over again. We're looking at
you
Troy
hit
Brown.
The hell out of his arm. That's a foul.
He's shooting the ball, and at about the right before the release point, he gets his wrist chopped off.
Yeah. And
it's
the ball went 18 feet on a 26 foot jumper. He's not 8 feet short. Strictly because he just mistimed it.
He missed.
He just missed. Okay, wait, real quick on the NFL weekend.
Yeah.
This weekend is kind of like, we're talking about the quantity and the quality, which weekend's better. This weekend is you're going out with some friends, and you're kind of just going with the punches, right? You're going to have some drinks. You're going to have some food. You're not even sure where you guys are going to end up eating. Next weekend is a little bit more, you made a reservation.
It's not a bad way to look at it.
You're getting a bottle of wine.
Okay, yes.
Getting a nice steak.
Maybe.
Things are organized.
Sure.
And the quality will be better next week. The quantity is, we're going out with friends having a good time.
I love this analogy. I love it. It's terrific. Sometimes the second one, you go like, service wasn't that good. They overcooked the steak a little
bit. Could happen.
You know, it's like, it was fine, but it wasn't exact. And sometimes you have no plans and you just end up like, that was awesome. That was awesome, right? I'm not wrong about that.
No, you're not wrong about that at all.
I can't believe that they were here too.
We had on New Year's Eve, how good were those two college football games?
Perfect.
You're like, yeah, you cannot literally script this anymore. And that won't happen again for 10 years.
It's 65-7. Fast forward 10 days, you get 65-7. It is a Bud Light Football Friday on 710 ESPN. We're getting you ready for What's on Tap Wild Card Weekend. Super Wild Card Weekend, kicking it off with the NFL playoffs. It's presented by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Must be 21 or older. Please enjoy responsibly. 2023 Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. I think I'm going to do that this weekend. I think I'm going to have a few beers. I think I'm going to watch a little football, hang out a little bit.
Are you going to chug contest anybody?
I don't know if Susan's down for that. I don't know if she's going to chug her glasses.
I was going to say, no, do Michael.
Bobby's got
chugging
decent game. He thinks he's got Bobby's got a little bit of Bergman in him when it comes to that. Like, he thinks he's faster than he is. He's okay.
By the way, I respect that.
Yeah,
if you're walking around like, oh, no, I cannot be stopped, and then you get stopped, and you're like, I wasn't even at my best.
It's an odd moment when your son goes, I didn't know you could drink beer that fast. Well, I can. Like, I haven't been 50 my entire life. You do know that, right? There was a point in my life where I was just as dumb as you are.
Okay.
It wasn't that long ago.
Really random here, okay? Do you remember Drew Belzer?
Of course. Tennis player from Texas Tech, I believe, is the actual answer to that. I don't know why I remember that, but I think that's true.
Okay. Wait, were you guys...
I worked with him when I worked for Jim.
Okay, but you guys didn't work together here.
No.
So he had probably just left. You had probably just come because he was here for a handful of years. So yesterday, doing the halftime show, and Belzer comes by, and he's saying hi to John. I haven't seen Drew in a long time. And I'm like, I see Drew while I'm doing halftime. I'm like, wait right there. So got to meet his son as well, and Drew was there. And I get to, we're just having a kind of a quick catch up, quick conversation, then he's going to go about. And he said something about somebody that he's here that he trains in pickleball.
No way. He was a, I want to say he was a collegiate tennis player.
So he, I think today is, he does tennis lessons and trains and all that other stuff. I think he said Thousand Oaks, I think. So anyways, so he just randomly says that in that 15, 20 second conversation. I said, Drew?
Yeah, boy.
Let's go ahead and get that phone number here real quick. I will be in touch. He's like, when is it? I'm like, not until March. He's like, we got plenty of time.
Perfect. Perfect. Did you hook it? Let's find a date.
And I already, and
oh,
I don't,
by the way, you're not just talking about you, right?
I'm just talking about me. It's my connection. It has nothing to do with you.
No, I'm showing. I'm just going to follow you around from now on. I'm just going to, in case you decide to slip off to pickleball.
Just think about that for a quick second. And I was trying to tell Drew, I'm like, Drew, you don't understand what you just said.
He didn't know there
timing.
Was a tournament? He hadn't heard that?
Did not know. Yeah, he's doing his things, right. Got his family. Everything. He had no idea.
No kidding.
And it just kind of happened that way. And I looked up to the man above and I said, thank you for this message. And we exchanged numbers. Yeah, that's happening.
Yeah.
Not kidding. I swear on my life, I did not think of you at all that you were going to also go to lessons because you've played.
A few times. I am. Here's my experience with pickleball. I've played it a few times. I'm generally speaking good at games like that.
Yeah.
Generally speaking. So I think that I'll be okay. I'm a reasonably athletic person who's terribly out of shape. Mm-hmm. So I need to get in shape and I need to, but I don't know how to hit shots. Like I can't spin it and drop it and all. I want to learn that stuff.
You should definitely find a trainer out in Orange County.
Drew Belzer. He's my guy.
So you guys want to know how I'm trying to prep for this pickleball tournament?
What do you got going on?
I don't want to be embarrassed. So on dating apps, you can do different terms of like prompts and all that stuff. So one of the prompts is, what's your resolution for 2023? My resolution, I want to learn how to play pickleball. Do you want to be my partner? Is the thing.
The caption,
Now, if people respond to that, I can maybe find a pickleball trainer.
It's a great idea.
Not
a
bad
idea.
It's
a great idea. Talk about killing two birds with one stone.
Exactly.
Right?
Emily, remind me to tell you something during the break. I don't want to say it on the air because when you start telling the story, I'm like, this can't be the way that I think it's going to go. And it didn't. Your way is much better. But I thought it was going to go in a totally different direction.
I just want to get someone to train with me and a cute little date, you know?
It's a great idea.
Play pickleball in public spaces. A good time.
It is a terrific idea. Do you see where they're going to do robot umpires in AAA baseball next year?
Saw that.
I love it. What are we waiting for?
Are people mad at that? Are there people that say, you know, this takes away from the
It's a great question, the tradition, the history, or whatever. First of all, there's still going to be umpires on the field.
Mm-hmm.
The umpires are going to call balls and strikes. That's it, right? And why not? The computer is better at determining whether that ball went over the plate or not than a human being is.
I want that Boston Dynamics guy that does flips. I want him behind the plate.
You want Cletus, the football robot from Fox?
Right.
That does the dun 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 dun. He's doing that little dance. He's not going to be back there. It's going to be a grid. Mm-hmm. It either goes through the grid or it doesn't. It's either a strike or a ball. There's no ambiguity. It either goes into the grid or it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need umpires. There's going to be plays at the plate. The computer's not going to do that.
Yeah.
There's still going to be fair or foul. The computer's not going to do that. Because you have to call plays in real time or you can't play baseball.
Sure.
If it's called a foul ball, the play stops. There will be umpires. Literally don't see a downside to this.
All right. Are you you watch tennis at all?
Yeah.
What do you think of
Cyclops?
I'm not kidding when I say this. Their replay is one of the coolest things. And not only is it the coolest thing, there how did the element of the fans get into it?
Yeah.
I'm sitting at home like, hell yeah. Let's get more of these close calls.
Yeah.
The most important thing is it's so accurate. And it just tells you real time. There is no referee going to the sideline, video, all that stuff. It's, in and out. By the way, which I would not be too surprised or shocked. You're talking about foul balls and all that. It might just continue. But at the end of the day, is it accurate or is it not? And I think that's what you're hoping for.
Like the foul balls, for instance, I'm not saying you can't go back and review it and see if it hit the line or not, but you need somebody in the
live. He gets the second. They review it. You go back. Yeah.
Fair ball, and then you go back, it's foul ball, strike two, we go back. Or you call it foul when it is fair. Okay, we're going to put this guy here or this guy there. You have to make calls in the moment. You can't stop the – you're going to have human umpires. You still don't have it.
As somebody that used to pitch, as somebody that, trying to look at it more from a player perspective, do you think players
– it benefits the hitters far more than it benefits the pitchers.
But do you think they – so do you think they want it or they don't? Like, is
pitchers?
Do you think there's also, from a pitcher perspective, I just want what's accurate. And if it wasn't a strike, fine. It's not a strike. It's not framing. It's not this. It's not that. Or, no, they prefer the old school way.
It's a good question. If, as a former pitcher, I would want a human being back there. I think I'm going to get more than I'm going to lose, mm-hmm. right? That I can, because you can trick an umpire occasionally,
sure.
but both good and bad. But to your point, a framed pitch.
Will Smith's like every
right,
time.
Right. A framed pitch, that's gone, right? That mm-hmm. doesn't exist anymore. And look, good hitters, no balls and strikes. They don't swing at bad pitches. And now that there's no more, well, he called this ball, this pitch that was a ball, a strike. I have to go get that because he might. Now I know that's a ball. I'm letting that one go. I'm spitting on that one. That if I know that he has to throw it in this grid, that's a very daunting task.
Is that also a, you know, we talked about the shift is gone mm-hmm. next year, mm-hmm. right? And we talked about how, I know you mentioned a lot of times, look, the game's boring. Somebody's get a hit, and then all of a sudden there's four guys on one side of the field who have the cases. Does this also,
sure.
is there an exciting element to it because offense will be, are you expecting that the offense is going to be more?
I think that it will increase offense marginally, but it will increase it. Mm-hmm. They're not nearly as much as the shift. Look, you want guys on base.
Yeah.
You want plays at bases. Watching guys strike out is sure. not a ton of fun.
Watching Pistons Spurs in the finals, 84-84.
Yeah. yeah. A line drive into shallow right field that's been a hit for 140 years should be a hit. Mm. Should be a hit. Because, and not because playing baseball with the shift is the correct way to do it. It's smart. It takes, but it's not any fun. Are we trying to have fun? Or are we trying to win a math equation? Mm-hmm. Trying to have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try Brett in L.A. Brett, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up?
Well, you know, I'm going to talk about as far as I think the umpires need to stay in the game, and I think the electronics or the computers need to stay out of the game because what is actually happening, it's a human game. Mistakes are made, just like when people strike out. As, you know, no one goes up there ready to strike out, even if the ball is a little bit higher, because some batters like the higher balls anyway. And so they're going to swing at it.
That's not going to change, right, Brett? If I know that I got a hitter that likes to chase a high fastball, he's still going to chase a high fastball if I set him up right.
And, you know, and I agree with, you know, I just don't like computers either, because in the end, I mean, we can computerize the whole game where electronics is calling it by putting transmitters. They already have transmitters in bases or something like that, put them in shoes and you know, well, the whole game could almost be called balls. You can put transmitters in it, and that's electronics calling it. And so where does it stop?
It's an interesting question, Brent. We can come back and talk about this on the other side because, yeah. by the way, I don't care if there's a transmitter in the bag and in your foot and what hits what. I'm okay with that one, too. There's always going to be a little bit of a human element, but I'd rather get it right than wrong. I think the Lakers wouldn't mind having some sort of computerized
come on.
Of call, no call. We'll do all that. Plus, I'm going to tell you why the Dodgers did nothing this offseason and why you should still feel really good
still
about
it. I still got to know, too, if you like Miguel Rojas or not. You haven't told me anything.
Okay, we can do that, yeah. too. Miguel Rojas is interesting to a point. It's coming up next. Stravin Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You doing your steak tonight or tomorrow?
I'm going to do it tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you're going to have a little football with your steak, but tonight you could do.
Well, steak is NBA League Pass.
There you go. Doomsday videos, NBA
tomorrow
League
will be
Pass.
Thai food.
What are we doing
football.
On the side? I mean, you're going to have a nice, good steak. You're going to have it cooked properly.
I need some
fingers
greens.
Crossed.
I need greens, so I'm going to do spinach.
Okay, like, how are we preparing that spinach?
So, I don't do anything. Yeah, I will take some suggestions.
Cream spinach?
Okay. No, just
That's good too. But that's a little labor intensive.
Green greens.
Sauteed, steamed.
I'm going to saute it.
Okay.
Usually, what I've typically done when I do steak and spinach, when I'm done with the steak, I use the fat that's in the pan. I use that for the spinach, and that's kind of all you really need to do.
Yeah.
I'll put a little salt on there and maybe a little lemon.
Some walnuts in there. Maybe
walnuts, not bad. I'll take walnuts.
The spinach, a little bit sweeter. Maybe some balsamic. Is Lady Slee a sous chef?
She's gone.
She's gone.
You see, you just pulled a Sleewa. Right, you weren't even listening to the show today.
No. Listening at all. It's fine.
If you did 38 more, we're not even tied.
Okay.
So you're completely okay.
She did 38 more. She'd need to do 3,080 more.
All right, slow down here. Slow down. I don't know what else to put.
Walnuts, pine nuts maybe is another way you can.
But another side. What's the other side?
But can I just ask one other thing in there?
Yeah.
Very thinly sliced. By the way, cooking it in the beef fat, great idea. Great idea. Very thinly slice some shallots in there, throw them in there. They'll almost dissolve in the pan if you cut them thinly enough.
Sounds amazing. Yep.
It's a great way to do it. It's just it adds that little, what's in this? And you say, don't worry about it. Just eat it. You're going to enjoy
it. When you said shallots and everyone's like, he's a chef.
Shallots are fine.
They're fine.
Yeah, like, she was the one. She was the one that's like, no, he's not a chef. Every other listener was like, he runs a hotel steakhouse.
They're subtle. They're one of those things that this is good. What is this?
Yep.
And it's the answer to that is very frequently shallots. So, what else are you going to have? You're going to have any starch? You're going to have any potato? Any rice?
Yeah, potato's a good one.
No rice. Maybe potatoes.
How are we doing that?
I'm not sure. I haven't got that far.
Roasted, smashed, mashed.
Mashed is my favorite, and putting it in the oven, that is my favorite way of eating a potato, but I have not gone that far.
I picture you.
Right now, it's the steak and overload.
Let's pretend the phone is the potato. I picture you just sitting in your house like this. Just like, how do I turn this potato into something I'd like to eat?
And she actually makes the potatoes really good, but of course.
First of all, there's no wrong way to make a potato.
I could find a way.
No, to throw it, fork. Throw it in the oven for an hour. Done. A little butter.
Scalloped potatoes.
Those are good too. She's going a little elevated. I'm trying to give him some baby steps.
Well, if I go steak, spinach, some roasted potatoes, and I'm good there. I don't need anything else.
It's a great meal. Get those little baby potatoes. The little ones come in the bag.
Fingerlings.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Cut them in half.
Uh huh.
Salt, pepper, a little oil. Throw them in the oven for 20 minutes. They'll be crispy on the outside, fluffy on the inside. Done.
Also,
you guys hate sweet potato? Am I the only one who likes sweet potato?
Yeah, not a sweet potato fan. Also,
you like sweet potato buns? They're delicious, right?
Delicious.
Do the same thing with that.
If you cut up those fingerlings too, put them face down. So on the baking sheet, either put no thing down. Okay, pro tip. Put your baking sheet inside the oven beforehand with a little bit of oil, maybe that avocado oil or sesame, so that it gets really hot. Put them down face down so they get really crispy.
What do you think Tom Brady would do?
Not that. He doesn't eat potatoes. He doesn't eat strawberries.
That's right. He hasn't touched a potato in 20 years.
Blueberries every other week.
And that's a treat.
Yes.
He's like, guys, hey, get the blueberries.
I ate a lot.
Get the blueberries out of there.
I ate a lot. Can you tell in my chin? No, you cannot, Tom.
All right. So the Dodgers were listed as, you know, they do the winners and losers of the offseason. And it's not over yet, but it's mostly over. Most of the players that are impact guys have gone the other way. Miguel Rojas, for instance, I would not classify him as an impact player. He's a guy that the Dodgers will use if they need a shortstop, if Gavin Lux turns out to be not quite up to
the idea, he goes to short, Lux goes to second.
I don't think so. I think Lux is the guy, and if he's not the guy, then Rojas becomes the guy. Because Rojas doesn't hit much. He's not a particularly offensive player, so he's more of a, hey, listen, we got to have
somebody. We need defense,
We just need to be league decent at that position defensively. I don't think he's going to play a lot. I think he's a role player. Berg had a good line. He's this upcoming season's hands are Alberto. You can play him a handful of different places, but he's not the guy that's going to make you win or lose a bunch of games.
So opening night, Lux is at short.
I think so.
Okay.
Unless something changes between now and then. Dodgers didn't do much during the offseason. JD Martinez and Noah Syndergaard were their big acquisitions, right? JD Martinez, if he has a good year, he could hit you 25 or 30 home runs. He could also hit you 12 and get cut halfway through the season. I wouldn't be surprised either way. I think Noah Syndergaard's going to be pretty good, but time will tell, right?
And he's kind of banking on the Dodgers to get back to form of what Dodgers
he wants
what they've done
to,
with
he
others.
Wants to get Dodger-fied, for lack of a better way. Like, I used to be this guy. I'm not that guy anymore. I want to get back. I've seen what you've done with some other guys. Do it to me, right? I think, and that, I think, is a great combination. But what the Dodgers have going for them that I don't think anybody's giving nearly enough credence to is they've got a whole crop of guys that are coming up right here. You've got Bobby Miller and Miguel Vargas and Ryan Pepiot and Gavin Stone, Michael Bush and Outman. All of these guys that are young guys that are on the verge of coming into the league. Now, that's six names, okay? All six of those guys will not be great major league players, but there's a really good chance that some of them will be. I want to go back to the last time the Dodgers kind of integrated a bunch of young players into their team. You know who was in that group? Gavin Lux, Tony Gonsolin, and Dustin May. How'd that work out? Really, really well. These are not just major league players. They're very good major league players. The group before that, when they integrated another wave of young players, when their farm system started to really bear some fruit, Will Smith, Walker Buehler, Julio Urias, Cody Bellinger, and Corey Seager.
Jeez.
These are all homegrown guys that come through the system that they're able to, okay, look, we don't need to go. Just put these guys out there. There are some misses in there too, but think about this. Will Smith, Walker Buehler, Julio Urias, Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, Gavin Lux, Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May. Some of these guys are going to be guys that are on that level as well. This is what they do. So while they didn't go out and spend a bunch of money, the Trevor Bauer thing kind of kicked them over the repeater tax and all this stuff. If two of those guys become guys like these other guys, that's two more All-Stars.
Okay. I'm going to go back to something you used to talk about last season. You would say it was kind of a boring season because they had such a lead on everybody else. Mm-hmm. That the NL West was really, it wasn't competitive for...
It's over by Memorial Day.
Okay, so that's over. You kind of already know, you're just waiting for October. Because you already know who the Dodgers are. You already know their identity. Yes, can injuries happen? Or is this guy going to come back? Is that going to come back? I actually think this upcoming year is a lot more interesting than last season. Because there are some teams out there, including... You could look at just the NL West, or you could look at the NL just as a whole. Some really competitive teams out there. And if the Dodgers didn't go, if the Dodgers lost players and other teams went and gained players, then all of a sudden that 100-and-plus win team that the Dodgers were came a little bit back down to reality. Other teams moved up a little bit closer. This season, and the way you kind of laid out some of those young players that you're talking about, it's not like the Dodgers are in a rebuilding mode and all they have is young players. They're stacked with real baseball players, some of them the best at every position that you could think of. And on top of that, you have young players coming in. Would you agree that this upcoming season is a lot more interesting than it was last year because they ran away with everything last year and there really wasn't that much competition when the regular season was all said and done, or at least through that grind of 162 games, you didn't feel like it was all that exciting because you already knew what the result was going to be in the regular season.
Couldn't agree more. Yes, it's far more interesting. They're not as good, but it's far more interesting. Diane Rossini from ESPN, if I'm reading this correctly, just to his 9 seconds ago, Sean McVay just informed members of the Rams organization that he will be staying on as the head coach.
Wow.
Per sources. So Sean McVay, according to Diane Rossini, is going to stay with the Rams. That's just terrific news.
That's a surprise.
I'm very surprised. That is great news. And now you wonder, Al, if... Everything else that we've been talking to, you blow it up. I don't think a blow up is coming if Sean McVay's sticking around. And okay, I got a lot to let's do this. Let's come back. Let's do this.
Good time. We'll take a break.
My mind is racing right now what this means for the future of the team, the future star players, all of these things. Sean McVay, according to Diana Rossini from ESPN, is going to come back and coach the Rams in the 2023 season. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, so we have breaking news in here to ESPN Los Angeles. So, Sean McVay has informed members of the organization that he will be staying on as the head coach. This is from Diana Rossini to ESPN Los Angeles. And so Breaking news is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. I called it yesterday. I thought that for some reason there was something in me that I was like, Sean McVay is going to stay with the Rams. And I'm so glad that that's true.
Yeah, I definitely did not call it. I definitely did not think. I really, really, this is over the course of just 7 days that I think everybody was leaning towards, or a lot of people were leaning towards, I don't think this guy's coming. I did not think he was coming back, or I thought he was going to take a break.
Look, I'm thrilled he's coming back. You are not going to get a better coach than Sean McVay. That he's coming back is great news for the Rams, both in the short term and I would assume the long term. The part that he's back is surprising to me, but I'm not blown away by it, but I am blown away, Al, by how quick it happened. This, like you just said, it was last weekend, going into the weekend, where the first bubbles come up about
we played it here, reading
right,
the quotes.
Like, hey, yeah. I'm happy where I am for now. It's like, well, that's a weird. And then by the time you got to Sunday night, it's like, hey, I need some time to think about this. And Jalen Ramsey, it just seemed like everything was lining up to him to, if nothing else, really take some time for reflection, take some time to figure out where he was mentally, where he was physically, and just kind of figure out how I want to live my life moving forward. And I said to you when we played the Andrew Whitworth cut yesterday, I don't know what this guy's going to do to scratch that ish of competitive juice, of competitive greatness. This is what he does. He leads NFL guys into battle. That's what he makes him go. Calling a game ain't going to do that. But maybe it needs a little time away. That this went back to, no, Sean McVay is going to half-ass this. He's going to come in there like a house of fire and do what Sean McVay does. Took him 5 days to get there? That's amazing to
48
me
hours.
That it happened that quickly.
So guys, I think I need a break from the game 48 hours later. Guys, I'm ready to go.
Are you not blown away by the timeline of it all?
I've got to be honest with you. I'm just shocked that we're sitting here today and that conversation's being had. Listen, could Sean McVay have figured everything out in that small of a window? Maybe he just, as simple as this, said to himself, look, let me do my pros and cons and just realize I can't leave the game. I don't want to leave the game. Can I leave it for a year? Yeah, I can. Is this who I am deep down inside? Yeah, I probably am. Can I really just go sit on a couch for X amount of time? Playoff games start tomorrow. He's going to watch all these other squads. He's going to watch two teams from his own division face each other. I don't know if that's tomorrow or Sunday. I think it's tomorrow. Maybe in his eyes, he just, whatever hesitation that he had, that it got cleared up.
Okay, we're totally speculating here. We're just throwing, you know, what against the wall. But I wonder how, if it wasn't, because the Rams have been, they won the Super Bowl last year, obviously. They were in the playoffs the year before that.
Okay.
They were in a playoff position up until, I want to say, the last game. I think it was 16 games at the time. They were still kind of in it up until the last week. And then this is the first time where he's been out of it by about the halfway point of the season, right? Yeah. So the season ends, like you just said, he's getting ready to watch some playoff football. And he's like, I don't have anything to do right now. What? I hate this. It could have literally been a couple of days of, man, I don't even know what to do for a week. And you're asking me to step away from this for a year or longer? I'm going stir crazy in 5 days.
It's funny. All the speculation over the last week was, yeah, again, this is all speculation. Hey, maybe Matt Stafford is not healthy. Maybe you fear that I don't have a franchise quarterback coming in next year. Maybe the roster you're looking at is too flawed. Even if we're healthy, that roster is going to have issues. It's going to have problems. You don't have enough depth. You're always one injury away from kind of sitting in a situation that they were this year. I guess he's not worried about any of that.
Jordan Rodrigue, who covers the Rams for The Athletic, has reported additionally he's begun evaluating changes/additions to his staff. That's life in the NFL. Your staff, his staff, though, turns over probably more than most because of the tree that he has cultivated and grown and built into an entire kind of little enterprise is creating new NFL head coaches. Do you think it changes the underlying question of, hey, are we going to be any good next year or not? Because it's what you've been asking me all week, that if all of the things that went on my excuse machine, right? Mm-hmm. And there were 12 or 13 things there. Let's just say that half of those are not problems next year. You're a little bit healthier. The free agent acquisitions you have are a
schedule's
little bit better.
More,
schedule's more favorable. All of these things.
Yep.
Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, stay healthy. Okay. Are they good? And what if the answer is we're good, but I don't know if we're Super Bowl good. Should we start to redo this thing? Or because McVay is back, is it – no, listen, we – F them picks, full speed ahead, let's go and try to juice this thing one or two more times, because you could get to the end of next year and he could be feeling the same way, only make a different decision.
So part of the this is just, again, going by as the week progressed, part of the other speculation was they're just – how is Sean McVay going to go through a rebuild? Does Sean McVay want to do that? Does Sean McVay have to do that? Here's the reality. He does not have to do that.
No.
If he didn't want to – then he could go make whatever money on TV and then at some point decide to come back to the NFL and go to the perfect position or the perfect spot, if that exists or it doesn't. That is, I would tell you this. I would say that it feels like if Sean McVay is coaching the Los Angeles Rams, somebody that's already been to the Super Bowl twice in his young career, who's still the youngest coach in the NFL, who's being compared to names that literally are the cream of the crop who come from that position, Hall of Famers in the NFL, I would have a difficult time, and here's a soup commercial coming up. Well, I don't know if this was timed by that company.
You know, it's funny, and I'm going to show you my pad, so this is in the interest of honesty. Mm-hmm. Right down there, it says the word Hollywood, okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. This idea that he could leave the Rams and then pick the perfect spot for him whenever he felt like coming back to the league, I think is – mostly true, but not entirely true. He could leave the Rams and get whatever open job there is when he decides it's time to come back. He may even, you know, through back channels or everything else, say, hey, listen, I'd really like to coach Team X. And maybe Team X says, yeah, okay, let's make a move and get this done.
Yeah.
I believe that to be true. I don't know if there is a better spot. Are there teams that have better traditions than the Rams? Of course there are. You know, if you get the Dallas Cowboys or the Pittsburgh Steelers or whatever, of course there are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sean McVay has a little bit of a Hollywood vibe, I think, is a negative connotation, so I don't want to call it that, but he's got ambitions that go beyond just coaching football. That stuff is here. That stuff is in New York. You don't see a bunch of NFL coaches from the Minnesota Vikings head coach is not getting a soup commercial, right? And the head coach of the
I think that's more Sean McVay.
If Sean McVay were the coach of the Jacksonville Jags, do you think he has a chunky soup commercial?
He does not have a chunky soup commercial, but I think Sean McVay today can go anywhere and probably have a chunky soup commercial.
Now he can.
Yeah.
But the idea—
In the beginning, no.
There are opportunities that come along with being here. We saw Chris Paul was a great player. He went to the Clippers, and he's got State Farm, and he's got— Blake Griffin was a good player. He's got a national
card. Sure.
There are just things that are available here. Matthew Stafford wasn't winning a bunch of national pizza commercials.
But would you agree?
Also one, which changes a lot of things, but there aren't a lot of better opportunities. An owner that spends money, an owner that is willing to do what needs to get done to build the best stadium in the world, et cetera, et cetera. What else do you want? You had a bad season. Maybe our roster is a little jacked up and it's going to take some time to fix it. But if you think I'm just going to go away for a while and come back and drop into a better opportunity, I don't know if that – it might, but it's not a guarantee.
I would just say this. It depends what your definition of a better opportunity means, because the definition that you might have might be different than somebody else's definition. What you just sold me on or tried to sell me on in LA, it was, okay, yeah, but this market is one of the best markets in the country, but the franchise and the brand is obviously nowhere near some of those top echelon brands in football. That those opportunities that you're talking about, use Hollywood or the endorsements or stuff like that, when he first got into the league, no. But today, he can go anywhere, and those national people are going to come with him or those national partners. But it more just comes down to what your definition is of a perfect situation. Because he may say, and I have no idea, if Sean McVay was sitting here, he would say, guys, there's no better place to coach than right here with the Los Angeles Rams at SoFi Stadium.
I just want to ask this. Do you think that Sean McVay likes being in the media capital of the world?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. That's what I'm getting at. Me too. Mm-hmm. There might be a better football place for him some point, but I think the football opportunities here are very good. The legacy isn't the Cowboys, the Steelers, something like that.
Yeah.
But the opportunities and the stuff, it's all right here. And I think he likes that stuff.
So earlier this week, when obviously we were like in between, we didn't know if he's going to stay or if he was going to go. Earlier this week, you were like, if he stays, what does that mean for this locker room? So you were saying earlier, like, oh, if someone kind of wants out maybe, or if he's hinted that maybe he's thinking about other things, get him out. Because then it's just kind of poisoning these things. You might as well get it over. Do you think differently now that he's going to stay, or is it going to make an effect on the team?
I don't know if it affects the team. I think it might affect the business part of it, right? And what I mean by that, Slee, is Aaron Donald isn't thinking that Sean McVay is not putting in the work to come up with a game plan. Matthew Stafford isn't thinking that Sean McVay is going to start to be a 9-to-5 or not. That's not going to happen. What could happen, I think, is if you're Les Snead, if you're Kevin Demoff, if you're Stan Kroenke, hey, listen, he's coming back, but that burnout thing, if he's burned out, we need to be prepared for what comes next. We need to be able to move quickly to hire the next guy in the event that this pops up next year, the year after that, or whatever it may be. You need to have a contingency plan in place that maybe you didn't before.
And with that, who's going to be the OC? So do you go with someone that might be an heir apparent if Sean McVay, or someone that can take more of that, you know, play calling load off of him, or you get someone that's, you know, what he's typically had, you know? What do you think?
I think you let Sean McVay make that decision. What do you want? And you let him make the call.
Only thing I will say, this happened just so fast.
It did.
That, I don't know, how do you know that in a month he's not, I'm not saying he's going to go change his mind, but that happened really fast. Like, to get that opportunity to reflect on something and to say, I'm not sure if I want to do this. And you got those cameras and there's, it could be one of two things. One, he made the decision too fast to say I'm coming back, or it could be two, he knew his decision and he couldn't be more confident about it. I don't have the answer to that, but I'm just saying that to go from where we were 24 hours ago, even this morning when you and I walked in, to this, that is a much bigger surprise to me. Now, if in 3 weeks or a month or after the Super Bowl, it was announced, hey, Sean McVay has decided he's coming back, I'd be like, okay, well, he had a chance to take a breather, reflect, all the stuff. Their season ended 4 days ago.
It was fast.
Yeah.
It was. I'm thrilled he's back. Just real quick, if you're jumping in your car, Sean McVay informed members of the organization that he will stay as the head coach of the Rams. That is terrific news. And when does camp open? Let's go.
I really did think the Soupgate situation that we went through earlier in the season, really thought that was weighing in on his decision.
This?
No idea what that means.
Yes. That's correct, Sean.
I have no idea what that means.
It means he's coming back,
Sean,
Al.
We just talked about it.
That means that he's coming back. The Dump coming up next. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN. Em, do you get this stuff from SIG? The Trevor Lawrence stat that's up there, is that a SIG stat?
Yeah, that's a real stat.
Those guys are amazing how they come up with this stuff. So Trevor Lawrence has never lost on a Saturday. He's never played a football game that he's lost in Saturday. If you put together his high school record, his college record, or his NFL record.
I texted her that. I went back and looked.
They only won, what, two games last year? I mean, maybe three, something like that. They lost a lot. You would think that one
cool
of
story.
Them would have lost
it's
on
cool
Saturday.
Story.
He looks like...
You only play on Saturday if you go to the wild card game, so...
No,
the NFL.
The last 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks of the NFL season, there are Saturday games.
Yeah, I guess they were never on Saturday.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, there's not a million of them, but there's some. I'm sure that they've landed on a few of those along the way. He looks like the guy that you thought he was going to be out of Clemson. Like when he was that proverbial number one pick. It's, what is he, 6'6". He's got a big arm. He can run a little bit. He's strong. All of those things. And then he went and Urban Meyer was a train wreck. We don't need to redo that.
But yep.
It's like, oh, maybe, I don't know. I mean, Meyer was bad, but was he that bad? Turns out Meyer was that bad. And Lawrence is that good.
And I know we were hitting on Sean McVay for a quick second here, but isn't that a perfect example? Just the right coach. I'm not telling you that all the other pieces don't need to be there. I'm not telling you that the owner, the GM, of course, all those have to connect. But damn, when you hit on the right coach, how that could change a player's career, how that can ruin a player's career.
Especially in football, where it's the right, I got to have the right teammates. I got to have an offensive line. Kobe talked about this. I forget who asked him the question, but it was, if you had gotten drafted by the Nets instead of, you know, Charlotte and traded to the Lakers, would you have been Kobe Bryant? That's not exactly what the question is.
Yeah.
He says, I would have figured it out. Basically saying, yes, I'm the reason that things go the way that they do. I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, I fall much more in the camp that you are so fortunate to also end up with the Los Angeles Lakers, with Jerry West, with Dr. Jerry Buss, with Shaquille O'Neal, with Pau Gasol, with Lamar Odom. And that's yes. No knock on anybody.
Nobody.
It's corporations. There are certain companies that thrive, and from top down, they know just how to run their business, and there's others that just don't.
That's what I mean. Like, let's use this as an example. Like, Lawrence is a guy that you saw with a terrible coach who just didn't look like a very good player, and then you give him a... Doug Peterson is a good NFL coach. I don't know if he's a great, but he's good. He obviously knows what he's doing. You're telling me that for 25 years, the Browns picked the wrong guy every time? I find that very hard to believe, right? That they've gone through how many starting quarterbacks? It's something like 32 quarterbacks in 25 years.
My God.
Every one of them was a bum? Probably not.
Probably not.
Right? So you need the line. You need the coach. Mm-hmm. You need the coordinators. You need all of these things together. There is a... I don't know if there's a Tom Brady, but there's probably a handful of guys out there that were really good players that were just put in one bad situation after the next, and it never happened.
Dodgers is a great example. Go look at some of these NFL teams, whether it's the Patriots, whether it's the Steelers, whether it's Ravens or certain. Go look at these college football teams. There's a similarity to all of them.
Kurt Warner was bagging groceries. If he gets picked up by the Browns, he's not Kurt Warner. He got picked up by Dick Vermeil and the Rams. And, oh, look, there's Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. That's a pretty good team to land on along the way. Julio Urias and the Dodgers, they settle on a $14.25 million deal to avoid arbitration. Urias will be a free agent at the end of this upcoming season. So there's another guy that the Dodgers are going to have a big number to deal with next season.
Do they wait till next season, or do they handle it during the season?
Great question.
Don't you want to just lock up Julio and get that over with?
I don't know who his agent is. Emily could probably look that up really quickly. If his agent's Scott Boras, he's going to the market because those guys go to market. If he's got somebody else that might get something done, Mike Trout's never been a free agent. They get him done before. Now, Urias isn't Mike Trout.
It is Boras.
It is Boras. He's hitting the market. It's when Boras guys go to market. They do. So
that's a little dangerous.
Yeah.
Right? It's more dangerous just because, I mean, it's not like the Dodgers are not going to pay.
Well, there's what's-his-face, Steve Cohen in the mix now.
Yeah.
There's your boy down in San Diego.
Seidler.
Peter Seidler.
Yeah. John Heyman put Urias in his, like, oh, watch out for next season.
Yeah.
Like, where he's going to go, including the Mets and the Padres and all, and you know, Astros. Those
sure.
There.
And he's a, by the way, there's like all of the pieces with Urias too are a big deal. That he's Mexican in Los Angeles.
Of course.
I mean, this is a big deal. Here, he's wildly popular, and he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both of those things together, that they're going to have to pay Walker Buehler one of these days, too. What if not? The Dodgers can pay both if they choose to pay both?
Yeah.
Got to pick one. Who do you pick?
Julio.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
How come? Why do you say that?
He's been just kind of the quiet, consistent one every single year. And then the fact that Buehler's, you know, obviously had some injuries here, he's in the middle of an injury that has a lot to do with it as well.
Second time,
mm-hmm.
He's had two, and he's
Julio's
awesome.
Julio's been the slow and steady wins the race. That even when it was Kershaw, Buehler, Scherzer, Julio was always ice.
He was hurt a lot early in his career. He's been pretty durable ever since then. Kyle Kuzma, did you see the bobblehead that the Wizards are putting together? How great is that?
Hilarious.
It's the long, droopy pink sweater that he wore into the arena one night. They've got it in bobblehead form.
I love it, and I love that he kind of embraced it. By the way, you have to embrace it because you're the one that actually wore it. So I don't think...
Okay.
You know, that's one of those where you have to sit there and say, hey, do you think he'll be down for it? He wore it in a nationally televised game.
You and I are the wrong guy to ask because you wear hoodies and I wear half zips 95% of the time.
Mace is the perfect guy.
Yeah, Macy, you're maybe the fashion. Right
guy. Very stylish.
So talking fashion.
Kyle Kuzma's long pink sweater.
Yes, I heard it's going to be on the bobblehead.
In a bobblehead.
It's awesome.
It is. It's terrific.
Yeah.
Do you put that on because you know people are going to go, what the hell's that? Or do you put that on because you think it looks good?
I think it's a style thing, right? Like, I think some of these edgy, you know, superstar, like Harry Styles is wearing weird stuff.
Russ.
Everybody's
Russ is a good example.
Russ, yeah. Although Russ never wore a gigantic, oversized
look like a
nightgown. He hasn't worn that, but Russ has worn some very...
Russ has worn a gigantic, oversized sweater at some point.
You think so? A gigantic, oversized pink sweater?
I've seen him wear like a really nice suit.
Who was the guy that wore the culottes? Like the little knickers?
I don't know. Russ, at the Christmas dinner we had on the road, showed up in a skirt.
Yep, that's
like
right.
Like a kilt? Like okay.
Well, he did that at the Met Gala, too. He wore
You're supposed to dress like goofy. That at the Met Gala. Yeah. That's the whole point of the
Christmas
event.
Dinner, I wanted to wear that to the goofy. Mandy's, but I didn't know Russ can be volatile, and I didn't know if he would take it as, like, that I was mocking him.
Yes.
So, and I couldn't get to him. You were going to get to him. Remember, you guys had access to him.
Yeah, we didn't get Russ.
Yeah, but we were on the
balcony. And you couldn't ask him, so I bailed.
Remember, we did our broadcast.
Were you upstairs?
We were upstairs. And we could see Russ, but it's like, what are we supposed to yell? Hey, can John wear...
Can Ireland wear a skirt and you won't get mad?
Because we were up top for the Darvin Ham press conference. We were on the floor at Media Day.
Yeah, for Media Day, you had to be on the floor, right?
We were.
Yeah, but it was... Media Day was after the Mandy's.
Right.
Right. Correct. It was Darvin Ham was before the Mandy's.
You're right about that. All right, we got some breaking news that we need to get to. Let's do a little Supercross talk.
KSPN AM 710 Los Angeles.
KRDC AM 1110 Pasadena, Los Angeles.
K256CX 99.1 FM Pasadena, Los Angeles.
It's the greatest segment in LA sports radio history. Radio history.
Oh my God.
When the shows come together for magic on the radio.
It will only grow stronger. Super Crosstalk.
Are we ready for Mason and Ireland to join Travis and Slee?
Super Crosstalk begin.
It's time for Super Crosstalk.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. All right, I want to talk about the decision not to foul Luka at the end of overtime.
Oh, please.
We will get
to
that.
Can we?
Hold your fire for a second, John.
Bergman, get that call ready. My call at the end of the game. I think I might need to go to a psychiatrist, but go ahead.
But first, it's time to do a touchdown dance.
How about that,
Mace? Yeah,
Sean McVay is coming back, and that he decided to come back is surprising for me.
Yes.
That he decided to come back 5 days after saying, hey, I need some time to figure this out is shocking.
Although, you know,
me.
Ireland and I were saying yesterday, we thought the longer it went, the more likely he was to come back.
I agree with that, but this didn't go a week.
It didn't go a long time.
Yeah, but it couldn't. I mean, the longer he waited, they have to work on a plan B if he's going to leave. Sean Payton's interviewing with people right now.
Right.
He went in Denver yesterday.
No, I get that.
Raheem Morris went and interviewed for that job. You need to get in there and interview these eligible candidates.
I completely understand that, but the fact that it took less than a week is really
four days. But what I'm saying, it had to. Like, if he didn't tell them today, I was going to kill him. Because,
really?
Yeah, because I love Sean.
You were going to go after Sean today?
I love Sean, but I was going to say, look, man, the playoffs start tomorrow. That means, are there two games or three tomorrow?
Two tomorrow, two Sunday. 2-3-1.
Okay. 2-3-1.
On Sunday. Two
more teams out tomorrow, and all these weird rumors that if Brandon Staley gets boat raced, they may get rid of him, that for some reason they don't like Mike McDaniel in Miami. Every time one of these jobs opens up, Sean Payton, all these. I mean, you can't.
Sean
McVay can't take 3 weeks to decide.
I you're right. I think if it's anybody
theory,
other than Sean
by
McVay,
theory,
right. I think you give Sean McVay a wider berth than you're describing.
How long would you? What's reasonable?
I think you give him till comfortably into the playoffs. I think you could give him a couple of weeks, maybe even three.
I think the Rams would have done it.
Even if your candidates start, like if Brandon Staley gets fired, he's getting another job.
Probably.
So now we can't hire him because Sean won't decide?
Look, I think that Sean McVay is one of the few guys in the entire league that you say take the time that you need.
Right.
That doesn't mean you don't get your ducks in a row.
But he's a really good dude. I think he's the one who gave the answer today. I think he was starting to feel guilty.
I think there's two possible things that he realized, and I said this to Al, that even 4 days of I've got nothing to do made me stir crazy.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
I need to have, I can't do nothing. I'm going back. The other thing is your point, John, which is, hey, listen, we need to know sooner than later because we need to move on if you're leaving. And he makes a decision that maybe he's a little quicker than he might like. And a month from now, 2 months from now, it's.
He pulls a Brady?
Yeah.
But third,
the opposite.
But third
the
point.
Opposite.
Yeah. Third point. He believes that he has got the pieces to be able to win next year. he wouldn't come back unless he felt like, yeah, I got Aaron Donald. Jalen Ramsey sent a weird tweet in the middle of the night. But
yes,
now
he
maybe,
did. What did
maybe,
he tweet?
He tweeted, this is it. It,
Emily,
it
can
is
you put that
what
on the
it
screen,
is.
The
it
Aaron
was
Donald
what
tweet.
It was. Yeah. If this is my last go, I went out with a bang.
Yeah,
I'll read it to you exactly.
This Ramsey?
This yeah, is Jalen what he tweeted.
Is he even 30?
It is what it is. It was what it was.
Pretty good memory there.
If that's the end, I went out with a bang. That's still that. And then he tweeted again, loyalty is priceless and it's all I need. Love all. And then this symbol.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad McVay's team, because I think this is one of the rare circumstances where injuries really did take them off the board. And I think they can compete if they're healthy. And they don't need to go out and make a lot of changes. They need to fix the offensive line. But once they do that, I think they're good.
I want to read this to you guys real quick, because this is...
We're going back to he's got a full list.
You've got a notepad.
I've got your 13 reasons why the Rams failed miserably.
Yes. Okay. If half of these break the other way, I think the Rams are in the playoffs.
Okay.
You don't need the 13 to go the other way. Okay. Here's what it is. They didn't have any picks coming into this season.
Yes.
The one pick that they did have in Logan Bruss didn't play a single
got
snap because he got hurt in the preseason. Matthew Stafford never worked out during the offseason because he had an elbow issue, never developed any chemistry with Allen Robinson. They lost 7 coaches off of last year's staff. They basically didn't have an offseason because they played until the middle of February because they were in the Super Bowl. They had 13 different starting lineups on the offensive line. Allen Robinson might have been a bust.
Is a bust.
They might have missed on him completely. Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald all missed giant chunks of the season. They had 4 different starting quarterbacks. 4. That doesn't happen in the NFL where you start 4 different guys. They had the hardest schedule in the NFL by a mile. If half those things go the other way, I think they're in the playoffs.
I'm with Travis.
Yeah,
those are good points.
I am too.
I love the fact that you recorded them old school, not on your computer in a Word
document. I'm an analog.
Actually, you wrote them on a notepad.
I'm an analog guy.
Mace, do you want 1998? Go to your notes from.
I got a file at home.
All right, you guys want to hear something weird? My favorite television writer, Mason, gets sick of me talking about him.
Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah. Writes everything on legal pads.
Does he really?
Yeah. Every West Wing, every movie, everything he's ever done, handwritten on a legal pad.
That's weird.
I know.
Says
the guy who just wrote 13 things on a legal pad.
Look how neat it is.
Has
too.
A
it's
number
lined
of
up right
pages.
There.
Yeah, you've.
I go back. I got everything dated. I know exactly where it is if I need to go back.
Very organized.
Something.
Impressive. It's great news. McVay's coming back. I was psyched about it. Psyched about it now. #Hashtag Rams House. Let's go.
100%. One more little Rams thing before John's head explodes because they didn't foul last night.
Yeah, unbelievable.
By the way, how about this?
Is there a chance that they still do blow it up and try to rebuild this?
What constitutes blowing it up?
In other words, you know, Jalen Ramsey, maybe we can get something.
Trade
for him.
Aaron Donald.
Maybe Aaron Donald is at the point. Matthew Stafford. Maybe there's a team like the Raiders that think we can do with him what you did with him. We'll take him. We'll give
you a
king's ransom.
But why would he come back for a rebuild? Because he must believe that there's something that will make him
better.
He realizes he's going to go nuts staring at the walls 6 days a week. That's not
well.
Nothing.
He was if he would have stepped away from the Rams, he would have either gone into broadcasting or like gone with Veronica over to the Ukraine for 6 months.
I understand that. He's a football coach.
Yeah,
he's a football coach. He's not. He will be a broadcaster at some point.
Yeah,
this guy leads Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey into battle. It's what he does.
Yeah,
and to not have that to do, I think, is something that he could have
considered. Quick side note here. Did you guys talk about the Staley stuff, playing
the
guys on Sunday, all that stuff?
Game,
and
ridiculous.
You guys saw this?
Crack in the back or something?
Yeah, Mike Williams is out 2 to 3 weeks.
So that may shoot the Chargers' chances in the foot. The weird thing about Staley in that game, and I like Staley because he kind of goes for it all the time and he seems to get it. If McVay left, I was going to lobby for the Rams to hire Staley.
I would have.
Yeah.
I would have.
Might be on islands.
But
maybe we're on islands here.
Here's the weird thing. So I was in Denver. Chargers played at Denver on Sunday. I was in Denver. I was over at my friend's house. They're all a bunch of Bronco fans. And I said, it's coming down to the end of the game. The Chargers have 3 timeouts left. They're down by 3. They got the ball around midfield. And Staley just lets the clock run out.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't stop it.
Kept 3 timeouts in his pocket, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doesn't do anything. And I thought, what are you doing? I go, oh, he doesn't want overtime. He doesn't want anybody getting hurt. Maybe it was a reaction to the Mike Williams thing. But clearly, he did not care about winning or losing that game. He didn't need it. He was already in the playoffs.
Did it matter in any way?
Not in any way.
Not at all.
They were lost that earlier game. They were going to Jacksonville, win or lose.
Got it.
And so once you make that determination that the game doesn't matter, why would you play your
well, here's my
100%.
Question. What would McVay do? He would play nobody. He'd bubble wrap everybody like he does in the preseason and like he did, I think, in week 16 last year.
McVay literally, the day before that game, would have been calling guys from last year's taxi squad
saying, hey, we're flying you into Houston.
Let's go.
The reason I would not hire Brandon Staley if this had gone a different way and there was a Rams vacancy is not just that he makes bad decisions. Everybody does. Every coach makes weird decisions that don't make any sense. He doesn't seem to learn from them. That's the part that scares
me about Brandon Staley. With his post-game comments.
That he continues to say, nope, that was the right call, when it's empirically not true.
Boy, that's so not McVay, too.
It's what I mean.
McVay's the opposite.
McVay takes ownership of these things.
I can make decisions a better way here, and I'm examining all the time what I'm doing.
Staley tries to justify everything that he's done. That's obvious. You made a mistake.
Yeah. The Mike Williams thing may doom him. If they lose tomorrow, the Mike Williams thing
What were you saying earlier? You were saying
you're never going to be able to say right there, but let's say that whoever is in Mike Williams' spot drops a key pass. Let's say that the guy goes left when he's supposed to go right, and Herbert throws a pick because the guy ran the wrong route.
What if there's more attention on Keenan Allen and Eckler, and Herbert's life is a little bit more difficult?
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's a lot of stuff other than just, okay, we're down a guy. The ripple effects on that are for real. Go ahead, John.
All right. As you may or may not know, if you listen to Michael and I do games, our absolute pet peeve, the thing that drives us insane, is at the end of the game, if you're up by three and the other team has the ball, and I shouldn't have to explain this, but I will. 2 points cannot beat you. You are up by three. 2 points do not matter. You escort the other team to the rim. The only thing that can get you, the absolute only thing, is a three. Now, we had a unique situation last night in that Michael was at a funeral in the Bahamas and Trudell was filling in, and Trudell still does TV postgame.
Okay.
So he leaves at the end of last night. He left at the end of regulation, end of the first overtime. He goes down to the court, so he's ready to do his thing. And I'm there by myself. And I want you to listen to this, and you guys can I don't think I've ever been this frustrated on the air, and I just let it all out. I'm probably going to get in trouble for it. I don't care. It makes no friggin' sense. This was my call at the end of the game last night.
Luka having trouble getting it in, now gets it into Dinwiddie, now back to Luka. Luka dribbling right. Three-pointer, they let him take it, and he hit it. I don't know why the Lakers do that. I don't know why the Lakers let him shoot it. It makes literally no sense to me. All you have to do is foul him, and he gets two free throws. Instead, they let him take a three, and he ties the game at 101.
What am I missing? All right, give me the other side of this. What am I missing?
Okay, honestly, there really is no other side.
No,
there isn't. And Darvin Ham mentioned...
Slee, it happens all the freaking time. And here's what makes it even more frustrating. Matt Ryan did it for us to New Orleans 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So they know how the movie ends and they still won't acknowledge it. And then after the game, Darvin said, well, I didn't really want to foul, but we should have blitzed him and taken the ball out of his. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But what you did, that put a shorter defender on the best clutch shooter in the NBA when you're up by three. Give me a gun. I'm going to kill myself.
Can you imagine what Luca's thinking when he's...
Well, Luca said it after the game. Luca goes, I was shocked they didn't foul me.
They didn't foul me. They didn't send a double. Yeah. The smallest Laker was guarding him, and he's just looking up at the 20,000 fans, and he's like, I'm going to go ahead and just tie the game right here.
You can tell by my voice that I'm desperately rooting for the Lakers, but I'm just beside myself. I don't know how many times this has to happen, not just to the Lakers. For example, it happened to New Orleans.
What is the argument to the contrary?
Okay, so Luka, there was a
game. You don't want to put on the line, make one, miss it, get a tip in? Is that the argument?
But no. That's Trav, how many points is that total?
Three.
Right. No, you can't give up
that's
three.
That's harder. What you just said to do is much harder.
I'm trying to find the argument against it.
There's no argument against it. I've always thought that instinct takes over at some point. That you start, you.
Well, that's where the coach has to come in and say,
we're fouling. That's where the coach has to say, no, we're fouling. But instinct, I think, works on a lot of these things. Mm. People wind up giving up you got to give up the 2 points. You got to give up the 2 points.
They just put five guys. By the way, if you go back and look at this, they're coming off a timeout, so they would even have that chance to.
And if even the instinct would help. By the way,
and if you look, and this happens all the time, if you look at the Lakers playing defense on the other four guys besides Luka, they're all guarding the guys inside the 3-point line,
which has no effect.
Why?
On the team.
If Luka misses, okay. In that scenario, they're going to get it and throw it back out to the 3-point line. Why are you guarding anybody in the paint?
All right,
what are you doing?
I want to cross
Star
the stream here.
Star effing driven town.
Thank you. I want to Darvin Ham, to your point, going back to Brandon Staley for a second, said in so many words, yeah, that was a mistake.
That one hurt.
That's on me. Is
that's
what he
on
said.
Me.
Is that what Darvin said? Yes. That's on me.
But he didn't say he wanted to foul.
No, he didn't. He wanted to blitz him.
Here was his response.
Foul. Everything was red after 10. Hit if we needed to. Felt confident in the five guys we had out there defending. And he does what he did. What Luka does. He made a shot. I'm kicking myself in the butt. I needed to coach a little better in that instance. We should have blitzed him, but.
Okay, so that's the part that I'm talking about. He did say, look, I should have done a better job.
Yeah, but in that timeout, you're telling me he didn't say.
He didn't want to foul.
You don't think
obviously
he said?
Not.
And how about he this? Said in the beginning of that, the foul was not, his strategy was he wanted to.
Wanted to blitz him as opposed to
was it,
the foul.
Was it Schroeder Garden, Luka?
Schroeder.
Okay. Dennis Schroeder's 2 inches shorter than Luka. Yeah. Luka's whole game is he just shoots over you.
Especially that step back that he does.
Yeah. And he might be the best in the NBA at it.
Right.
There was a game last year when, or maybe 2 years ago, when the Lakers were up 3 at the end of regulation, and Michael said, we're playing the Warriors, and Michael says, they better not let Steph shoot a 3. If Steph touches this ball, you better foul him. And the Lakers don't do it. And this is before Darvin was here. And Steph comes down and hits a 3. It happens every year.
You gave the example in the finals. Jameer Nelson, Derek Fisher.
Right. And what
in
did,
the finals.
And Jeff Van Gundy was brilliant. Jeff Van Gundy said, in the NBA finals, okay, the Lakers are up 2-1 in the NBA finals. So it's game 4. Orlando has to win this game or they're dead. Okay. The Lakers are down 3. And here comes Derek Fisher on a fast break. And Jameer Nelson has got Fisher. Now, there's 5 seconds left in the game. Does Jameer Nelson think Derek Fisher's going to drive to the rim and lay it in? He drives right to the 3-point line, pulls up, shoots a 3, and ties the game.
Nelson backs up.
And Jeff Van Gundy says, keep in mind, his brother Stan is coaching the Magic.
Right.
And Jeff Van Gundy says, what does Jameer Nelson think Derek Fisher is going to do? What did the Lakers think Luka was going to do? They're down 3. All right.
I'm desperately trying to come
there
up with
there is no other side.
I got one. I don't know. I'm not saying
good,
this is what happened.
I'm just
guessing here.
Right.
Okay. What if Darvin Ham told him to do exactly what you're suggesting?
He said after the game he didn't.
But he's doing is I'm not throwing my
team. What if he's covering?
That's okay.
What if he's covering? Yeah,
letting
that's
right. Dennis Schroeder or Brown or
he's
whoever.
He's Sean McVay-ing
I'm not going to say, hey, listen, he blew it. I told him what to do. He did
LeBron's one of the smartest players in the history of the NBA. He was one of the 5 guys out there. I don't know why LeBron just didn't say, hey, whoever gets the ball, I'm fouling him.
I'm just saying that I'm trying to because you're
listen,
right.
The only argument that comes up in this conversation, but you can't have 11 seconds off on the clock. It's got to be like 2-3 seconds. That you don't want to foul somebody because they're going to go directly into their motion for a 3.
Right.
And you could foul somebody taking a 3 who's going to get 3
well,
free
that's
throws.
Which I think that's what Luka was trying to do last night.
But,
I thought he was trying to draw the foul.
Keep in mind, Luka was the guy who inbounded it.
Mm-hmm.
All
right? Right.
And you knew Luka was going to shoot it.
Sure.
So whoever on that call, I say who he inbounded it to, but whoever he inbounded it to, you just wrap him up.
Yeah.
Okay? Send him to the free throw line. So even if he makes one.
There's no more.
If he makes one and then misses the other one and they make some circus play to send you to overtime, all right, great, they made a play.
Have you ever asked
all
this question?
The time. All time. Yeah, they said, yeah, we should have fouled. But why? I mean, I'm saying it before the play happens.
Right, and by the way, and out of a timeout.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of inexcusable because you had a chance to set the stage and say, hey, do this, don't do that.
Sean McVay is coming back for another season with the Rams. Go Rams! Mason and Ireland coming up next. Have a great weekend.